Today, the word's going to be opened to us by Pastor Stephen Mafosa. And Pastor, where are you? Come on up. Let's welcome Pastor Stephen with us. Good to have you. And Adina, would you stand as well? This is his wife, Adina, as well. Stephen has been a great friend of this church and has been here many times and has preached here many times, but not in the last 2 years. So if you're new to our church over the last 2 years, you have not met Stephen. Pastor Stephen runs Awana Ministry throughout Africa. So he is a counterpart to what Melvin does with Operation Mobilization throughout Africa. Stephen runs Africa for Awana Ministries. That's the children's ministries that we support. He is an incredible man. He's from Zimbabwe, a very impoverished country, and he has a goal to see that country. You know, we talk about cities, we talk about our street, we talk about our apartment house. He talks about his country. When he talks about wanting to see something transformed, he talks about seeing the country of Zimbabwe transformed. Now you go, how do I remember the name Zimbabwe? In alphabetical order, it's the last one. But I believe it's the first one, right? It is the first one. It should be up there. But Pastor, open the word with us. We are glad you're here today. Thank God you. Bless you.
Mangwanani. Well, I guess I've been here long enough for you to learn Shona. I told some other friends that Shona is the language that we are all going to be speaking in heaven. I want to take this opportunity to thank Pastor Bill and Sister Elizabeth for their love and hospitality over the years and for being friends in the ministry and encouraging us in a lot of ways. And thank you, the church, for being part and parcel of our lives as we have been navigating together for the past 6 years. One of the things that I want to quickly thank God for is my beautiful wife, who is here with me this morning. She is my prayer warrior, the love of my life, and somebody that I can truly stand on, knowing that it is well with my soul when it comes to doing ministry. She is more than 100% supportive of what I do and makes sure that she prays all the time for me. So for prayer, I am fully covered this morning. God has blessed the two of us, of course, one wife. God has blessed the two of us with three wonderful children. The older son, Tinashe, which means the Lord with us, is 23 years old now, and he is going to be graduating in July, finishing college in June this year. And we are so grateful to the Lord for him because we have seen the hand of God working upon his life. And he is such a lovely, committed young man to the things of God, and we are truly grateful for him. The second born, Tatenda Ishe, which means thank you, Lord. He has been a sportsman. He plays rugby in school. So for the past 5 years, he has been studying in South Africa in high school because he was given a scholarship to study there. And we were so concerned because he was going so far away from us and at a tender age. But we were so blessed to realize that 3 months down the road, he called us and said he has found a church And we said, a church? What kind of a church? And of course, he said, well, you need to come and check it out. So eventually we went and we found out that it was a very wonderful Bible-believing church. And he fell in love with that church for 5 years, nonstop. And he has grown in the Lord and has become a testimony even among his peers as he plays rugby. And we are truly grateful to the Lord. And now he has completed his high school, and God has given him some opportunities to play for one of the major clubs in South Africa that is going to give him scholarship again to go to university. So we are so grateful to the Lord that he is working now and waiting for his study permit to go back to university, and we are so grateful to the Lord. Then our last born, our daughter, she is turning 16 in a week's time. She is the queen of the house, and she orders everybody and makes sure that you know everything must be in place all the time. We are so grateful for her, and both of our kids accepted the Lord when they were 6, and we had the opportunity to lead them to Christ. And our daughter, 3 years back, she started having a desire to serve in the church. So she asked if she could join the choir. So now she sings in the choir, and she is so committed to the things of the Lord, and we are so grateful to the Lord. She is now in her senior year of high school, and she is so excited. And one of the questions that she was talking to me about, when am I going to get my license? Because she's turning 16, you see? So we are so blessed to have a family that loves the Lord and that is committed to him, and that are walking with him. With regards to the ministry that God has entrusted in our hands, we thank the Lord so much for the past 6 years when we started off with the world lead here at the Boca Raton Community Church. What a joy to share with you that the Lord has been working in a mighty way in our personal lives to help us to grow in the Lord and to know him better. But much more so, to impact other people. When we started with World Lead, our ministry in Africa was reaching out to about 600,000 children every week that were going to club. But today, we are way beyond 1.3 million children that are meeting every week for long-term discipleship. This has happened because we have increased our leadership training through World Lead, and we're able to touch many leaders in our ministry that have helped us to reach to 1.3 million children. So we really look at you as people that have invested in a good soil in our lives, because we are seeing the fruit of our labor as God continues to touch many boys and girls that would have never had the opportunity to hear the gospel. But because there is some people who are like you and me who are praying, God is using both of us in a unique way to allow the kingdom of God to grow, and we are truly grateful. We did not only have leaders and people in our ministry, but we have also impacted a lot of pastors. Up to 6,000 pastors were reached out through the training, and now we are in every district with people that are representing the ministry of leadership training, and who are continuing to train even after we are no longer present with them. One of the things that we have learned very quickly is to realize that it doesn't matter how much God has gifted us, but we are not omnipresent. We cannot be everywhere at all times. So the only way we can impact the kingdom of God is by replicating us and empowering people to do the work of the ministry. And we have seen those 6,000 pastors in Zimbabwe doing exploits in different parts of the country, touching lives. And even now, God is giving us an even greater opportunity to see doors that are opening for college and university students, leaders, that needs to be trained. And we are so grateful to the Lord for that opportunity. We realize that this is a moment that we refer to as a cutting point moment, because it is a cutting point moment now that we are moving much closer even to affect the young generation, the young people. And it is the young people that are going to turn this world upside down. And we believe very strongly that Zimbabwe and Africa is going to be turned upside down because of the faithfulness of the gospel, and because we are faithful to train generations of people with the leadership tools that will help them to get to the next level. So thank you so much for your part in our lives, and that God will continue to do many things, even if the hurricane will take over Boca Raton today. The ministry of Boca will still continue in Africa, and God will continue to bless us together. Thank you so much. I'm going to share from the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4. Verses 35 to 41. I'm going to read verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us cross over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him, and he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and say unto him, Master, don't you care that we perish? And he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto them, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is that you have no faith? Verse number 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? May God bless the reading of his word. Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful that we are standing in your presence. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my mind be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. I am going to be speaking today about the faces of opportunity. A story is told about a certain couple that was visiting the Holy Land, Israel. And as they were coming to the end of their journey, the husband had a heart attack and died. So the wife was left in a very difficult situation. So he met with the authorities on how he could deal with this situation, maybe to bring the body back to his home country. So the authorities told this woman that you have got two options. It will cost you only about $500 if you bury your husband here in this land. Then he went on and gave him another option. And he said, it will cost you about $50,000 to take your husband with you and bury him in your home country. So this woman was in a puzzle and started thinking about how she was going to navigate this whole problem. Then eventually she came with an answer. She said, I am going to take my husband home and bury him in my own country. And the authorities were startled. Why do you do such an expensive thing to take your husband to your home country? Then the wife replied and said, once upon a time, there was a man in this land by the name Jesus Christ. He died and he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. So I am going to take my husband home with me. I guess you did not understand the joke. The moral of the story is that the wife wanted to take the husband to his home country because she did not want the husband to rise again. As we are looking into this passage of scripture this morning, I just want to begin by saying, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, there is one fundamental truth that I want you to understand from this passage of scripture. It was after a time when Jesus had had a time of speaking to many people that were coming to hear him. So now he says, let's send away people, and he gives instructions to his disciples, and he says, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. Now, the basic fundamental truth that I want you to understand is that it was Jesus who gave the instruction to the disciples that let us cross over. to the other side of the lake. Number one, I want you to understand that in the journey of faith, Jesus is not a spectator. Jesus will always go with us. Every step of the way, as long as we have accepted him as our personal savior, as long as we have started the journey of our Christian life, every direction that we are taking every single day of our lives, Jesus is not a spectator. He will go with us. He will move with us all the way. So he tells his disciples and he says, let us cross over to the other side. Now I want you to understand that it doesn't matter how you feel about the situations that comes into your life. Jesus is always with us. Jesus is always there for you as a child of God. And he continues to tell his disciples that the crossing over to the other side of the ocean, I am going to be with you. So you realize that he is not like a football coach who stays at the terraces when the team is playing on the field of play. He always comes alongside his team and he goes with them wherever they are going. So we see in this particular situation, he says, let us go over to the other side. It's very important and it's very fundamental for us to understand that the journey that God has allowed us to go through is a journey that Jesus will always go with us. If you read in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age. Now, this is very profound for me to understand that our God, having come to save us, having come to die for us, having rose for us, but he is committed to walking with us all the way. He is not going to watch you from a distance. He is saying, whatever situation that you are going to go through, I am going to go through with you. The journey of faith is a journey that I am going to accompany you alongside with me. I'm not going to put you in a difficult situation that I will not be able to go through myself. The Bible says no temptation has ever taken you such as common to men. But through every temptation that we come across, God will give you a way out. Why? Because he will stay with us. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, he says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And that's the most powerful truth that we can understand in our journey of faith. That in spite of our feelings, in spite of the challenges that comes our way, we must always realize that our God is always with us. So that's, to me, is very key for us to understand. Number two, both Jesus and the disciples left the crowd and went into the ocean. You know, it's very important for us to understand that if we are going to grow in the faith and become mature believers, there is a point in time when we must deal with crowd mentality. Crowd mentality is a situation in my life where God wants me to stretch my faith to the next level. But because by nature, we are always excited when we are part of the group and part of the crowd. The reason why many people don't make a movement in their faith is because they just want to be part of the group. They don't want to be singled out and make a movement where they can move yonder and be different from the rest of the group. But Jesus wanted to teach his disciples to understand that in this game of leadership that I am training you, there are times when crowds will come around your life. But you must have the ability to deal with a crowd mentality and begin to move out of the crowd and leave the crowd behind and move on to the next level of your life. Because you see, Christianity is about making a movement every single day and every single time. It's about making a movement, growing from faith to faith, from glory to glory, being changed and become like Jesus Christ every single day of our lives. The journey of transformation doesn't stop when we accept Christ as our personal Savior. Accepting Christ as our personal Savior is just the beginning of the journey, but God wants to transform you much more. Accepting Jesus makes us good for heaven. That's why Jesus don't kill us when we accept Christ as our personal Savior. Because he knows that there is still a lot more work that needs to be done in your personal life. So as we engage with our relationship with the Savior, we need to understand that we need to grow. If you are going to grow in your personal life, then you must deal in your personal life with situations that help you to remain the same, which we refer to as the crowd mentality. So Jesus told his disciples, let us leave the crowd and let us move on. It's very key in our lives that if you want to grow as a leader, you cannot do the same things that every ordinary person does on a daily basis. You must stretch yourselves. You must read. You must have time alone with God. You must begin to move to certain areas where there are no people around you, where you are just you and your God. That's why even Christ, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says he moved a little further, and that's when he began to pray with his disciples. Why? Because he was separating himself from the crowd and allowing himself to move to a certain place where God could stretch him. So he was helping the disciples to understand that leadership development is about moving forward, is about moving ahead of the rest of the people. When you want to do any business, there is a time when you need to take a risk in your life. You have to go into areas that are risky. And Jesus moved his team out of the comfort of the crowd into the ocean. Now, as he moves them into the ocean to me is a place of no control. Human beings by nature, we want to control things, don't we? Sometimes we control things to the point that even if the Holy Spirit is moved away from us, we will not know the difference. God was stretching his disciples and he puts them into the ocean as they were sailing on that boat in the ocean. They had lost control. You are no longer in control of yourself. That's why so many people are afraid of flying. Because flying is a test where control goes away. You are no longer in control of your life. I mean, we flew from Dubai to Fort Lauderdale for 16 hours of no control. We were just in the mercy of the pilot and the rest of the people. God forbid, we didn't know anything that we could do. If anything could happen, we knew we were not in control. So all that we tell ourselves with my wife and those that we fly with, let's just commit our life to the Lord. He is now in control. He is taking over everything. I cannot do the things that I do when I am on the ground. But it is stretching me. I can get here quicker than anybody who is on the ground. Why? Because I am stretched beyond measure and I am growing in order to understand a bigger picture and a bigger vision of where God is taking me to. So there are times when we need to allow ourselves to lose control and allow God to control every bit of the way so that we can begin to see greater things happening in our lives. So as they were sailing into the ocean, into the zone of no control, boom, a big storm comes, which I believe is the fear of those that fly and the fear of those that are in the ocean. A big storm hit the boat. And guess what? It is those people that were used to control who were affected the most. You see two sets of people, the disciples on the other hand and Jesus on the other side. They are all in the same boat. They probably all have eaten the same food. They are all facing the same danger. They are all in the same predicament, but the other group of people is in a big mess, in a big dilemma. It is the disciples, they try on their own power to rock that boat out of trouble, in their own power, rocking that boat out of trouble. Isn't it a challenge sometimes when we see things are getting out of control and how much we want to be in control? Everything must be in control. Everything must be in order. Everything must be straight. But God allows us sometimes to grow through situations that kick us out of control. A storm comes your way. And this is a storm. This storm is one of the faces of opportunity into the lives of disciples. Why do I say it is a storm of opportunity? It is a storm. You see, when opportunities come our way, they don't come dressing in nice suits. They come sometimes with ugly faces. Now, this storm, as it hits them, the disciples begin to panic and were outrageous. And they started doing whatever they could to help themselves. But guess what? Jesus on the other side, in the same boat, was calm and sleeping. Can you imagine? The same situation where the disciples were crying for their life, Jesus was composed and calm and sleeping. So what was wrong with the situation? What was wrong with these disciples? Because they were in the same boat with Jesus, but they had a different emotional experience over the thing that occurred. But Jesus on the other side is calm. The disciples allowed the storm to enter into them. And Jesus did not allow the storm to enter into his life. And when we allow the storms of life to enter into our lives, that's the point when we are in trouble. Because the storm will erode our faith for the journey for which Jesus wants us to accomplish. When we are allowing the storms of life to hit us from every corner, that's the time that our faith begins to fail in us. So look at the reaction of the disciples. They come to Jesus and they say to him, "Don't you see that we are perishing? Don't you care?" Just imagine, you are talking to the King of Kings and the Creator of the universe, and the one that ordered the journey, who is calm and composed, and you say, "Don't you care? Jesus, don't you care?" In other words, they were very angry with Jesus. How can he sleep when you are going through this terrible situation? I heard a story about a certain man. And this man was going through some very serious challenges. And as he was walking along the seashore, he had heard that Jesus would take care of him. But as he was walking along the seashore, he saw two sets of footprints. And as he saw these two sets of footprints, he was confused. And when he met with Jesus, he said, "Jesus, where were you when I was going through all this pain?" And Jesus told him, "Did you see these two sets of footprints? He said, "Yes. One of them are for you, and one of them are for me. I was walking side by side with you when you were going through the problems that you were going through." "Oh, really?" You see, there are times when the storms of life will mess up your feelings. But it's not our feelings, it is our faith. We don't depend on how we feel about the situation. We stand on the promises of God. What does God say about the situation? And it is what God says that carries the day. And one day, as he was continuing with his life, he got into some serious problems again. And as he was walking on the seashore, he saw one set of footprints. And he met with Jesus again and he said, "Jesus, where were you when I was going through this challenging time?" And Jesus said, "Did you see that one set of footprints?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Those are mine. I was actually carrying you when you were going through the problems that you were going through." Oh my! God will never leave us. God will never forsake us. It doesn't matter how you feel about the situation. It's not what you feel. It's what you believe. Do you know that Jesus is going to walk with you all the way? So they come to Jesus. These disciples, they come to Jesus. They say, "Jesus, can't you see that we are perishing?" You see, when you begin to see things from your own eyes, you begin to exaggerate a situation that is not existing. You begin to look for witches for the situation that is prevailing in your life. But when they come to Jesus, You know, they are seemingly accusing him of neglecting them. Isn't this true of all of us many times? Many of us, we are bitter about God. If God is existing, why did my mother die? If God is existing, why did I lose my job? If God is existing, why did I go through what I went through? We start looking for witches when God actually is right there with you in the situation that you are facing. Jesus was just right there. Can't you see that I am just right here with you? What happens to you will happen to me. Can't you see? Can't you see me? They couldn't. They saw Jesus as a separate entity, and they saw themselves as a separate entity. They could not blend the life of Jesus with their life to understand that Jesus was still caring for them. And brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that Jesus cares for you much more than you ever think about yourself. He has got great plans. He says, plans I have for you. Plans to give you a future and a hope. He has everything laid out for you. He knows your destiny. He knows that you are going to go to the other end. But he did not say you are not going through some challenging times. You will, but he assures you of your destiny. You will get to where he wants you to get. So he eventually rebuked the storm and the ocean, and there was a great calmness, and these people were terrified. They couldn't believe what happened. Why? Because they said, what manner of man is this? Now, this was their greatest opportunity to understand God in a more deeper way. It was a phase of opportunity, because from that point on, they got to realize that God, the Jesus that we are following, has power over the ocean. He has power over the sea. So definitely, yes, he will take us to where we are going. They were more comfortable as they were finishing the journey, because they knew that they are now secure in Jesus. Being with him, walking with him, it's the most security that you can ever have in your life. Because he will make sure that you get over to the other side of your life. There is a place for you that you are supposed to get to. So to the disciples, the face of opportunity was the storm. To Joseph, the face of opportunity was to be sold to the Midianites and to Potiphar's house, and to be framed and to be thrown into prison, and eventually from prison to palace. But he didn't look at things at that level. But he could only say, I will trust and obey. Even though I am sold by my own brothers, even though I am bought as a piece of property, but I will still continue to contain my life and allow God to work in and through my life in such a way that I'll do the best that I can in every circumstance that he finds me in. And when that happens, when he goes to Potiphar's house, the Bible says, and God was with Joseph. When he was thrown in prison, and the Bible says, and God was with Joseph. But all these faces were ugly faces. But yet these faces were faces of opportunity for Joseph. We need to change our mind on how we look at things that happen to our lives. Not every bad thing that comes to you comes to destroy you. It may have an ugly face, but you must understand that God has got a place to turn that situation around. When you read the story of Joseph later on, he says to his brothers, what you meant for bad, God meant it for good. Why? Because it was a phase of opportunity, and I did not try to avoid it. I stayed faithful, And I allowed God to work in and through my life in such a situation. So may God bless you. May God continue to minister to you. I can give you a lot of examples of people. Paul in a shipwreck, it was a first of opportunity for him to speak before the kings. Peter in prison, when he was supposed to be killed the next day, it was a first of opportunity because the angels came in and rescued him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the lake of fire, it was a first of opportunity for him to witness to the whole nation. Daniel in the lion's den was a first of opportunity for him to see the hand of God in that situation. May God bless you, may God minister to you, and may God continue to work in your life, realizing that your journey of faith, it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what comes your way. God is going to see you through to the other end. We are all going to arrive. We are all going to arrive in heaven one day. Because the anchor of our faith is not our feelings. The anchor of our faith is Jesus Christ. We are all going to be victorious in everything that we do. Because the work that we are doing is not our work. It is the work of the King of Kings. So let's sail on. Even though we lose control sometimes, but let's sail on. Because he who has started a good work in us will bring it to completion. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Because he is God over the occurrences of life. May God bless you. Amen.